There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you, Lord, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. We live for you. Lord, we live for you.
Let's just lift our hands and worship one more time. Praise God. Just such a, just a sweet presence of the Holy Ghost in here tonight. You can be seated. Thank you very much, Sister Fiona, for a beautiful worship set tonight. And I'm just going to go ahead and get into our lesson for this evening. I started the first lesson. This is a series in our series, Faith, that was created for times like this. I believe that every person on the planet, God gives a measure of faith. And Scripture says his faith is a grain of mustard seed. And I told this before, everywhere I go, I carry two mustard seeds in my wallet taped to the back of my driver's license. I have mustard seeds in my notebook and in my Bible, just as a constant reminder that God gives us faith. And so faith that was created for times like this, we're actually walking through the book of Joshua. One lesson at a time. Tonight is series lesson number 4. And because I did not finish this Sunday morning, we're here now Wednesday evening, I want to finish this. So we talked about what happens when we fail. This lesson is on regaining lost ground. And one thing I found out over my lifetime is that I have had a lifetime of failures, thus a lifetime of learning, because most of us, we learn through our failures. That's how we learn to walk, because we grow tired and weary of constantly falling down. Some of us perhaps learn to drive because we run into enough things that we learn how to correctly drive an automobile. And so life really is surrounded. We are surrounded, and we surround ourselves at times by just what we just call failures. Now, not every failure that we have is a catastrophic failure. And one of the things that I have learned that failures have consequences. There are some failures that are greater than others. You can fail at I remember the first time I tried to make gravy like my mom makes gravy, and it was a failure. You would not have wanted to eat that gravy. I don't know how much salt and spices I put in it, but I wanted to make it a little spicier, and it was so salty you couldn't. You could have probably used it to patch a hole in a parking lot or something like that. It was quite thick, had a lot of stickability to it. I just imagine it pouring out over a piece of bread just like my mom used to make it, and it didn't quite turn out like that. But, you know, it's not a colossal failure. It's not a catastrophic failure. You throw it away and, you know, you start over. There are times where sometimes there are consequences to our failures, and sometimes those consequences can be a bit more severe and can affect us a bit more than what we sometimes or what we typically like to admit. So we're going to talk about tonight about regaining lost ground. Failure always has one common denominator, and that is when we fail, we typically lose ground. I'm talking of spiritual nature. I'm talking about our lives, not every little failure, but most of our failures, that when we have a failure, you know, you look at a football team, and I forget where I was earlier last week, and there's two football teams playing. I don't even know who they were. Well, I do know. One was the Patriots, because I was kind of glad to see them getting beat. I don't know who they lost to, okay? But they got behind, and it just seemed like the further they got behind, the worse things got. And you kind of see that sometimes happening in life, not to compare everything to a football game, because I believe that life is much more serious than a football game. But nevertheless, for football teams that fall behind, perhaps maybe you have an issue with procrastination, and you procrastinate too much, and if you're like me, I find myself every year about this time out there draining the water out of my camper because I didn't do it when it was nice and sunny and 70. You think I'll do it a little bit later. You never know if you're going to make one last little trip. And I was outside last week, and it was very cold. It was dark, and I'm draining water out of the motorhome, the water lines, and because I'm procrastinating, and that procrastination could have led to a catastrophic failure in the spring when you turn the water on and you got water coming out of places that it should not come. Perhaps maybe you just spend too much money. We've all done that, maybe not we've all done that, but a lot of us have done that. You know, it's Christmas season. We're getting into, I heard our first Christmas song last week, actually, already. I was kind of amazed before Halloween, I heard Christmas music, and a lot of the retailers, they've started taking, they took their lawnmowers out and put Christmas trees in and such. So you get time around Christmas, and we spend too much money, and we use our credit cards, perhaps. If you're not a Dave Ramsey believer, you may use your credit card. And there's some of you that are smiling because you've been there or you're in the middle of doing that. And then come January, February, your financial plan to catch up doesn't quite work how it was supposed to work, and you've got all of this lost ground that you're trying to make up for. What was true for the Israelites in Joshua chapter 8 is also true for us today. However, the most admirable quality in the lives of God's children today, I feel, is our willingness and our desire that if we fail, we will get up and try again. There's not very many people that I know of that just say, you know what, I'm done with this God thing. I just can't live perfect enough. I just can't make it. So I'm just going to quit and give up. Most of us, we have a willingness to take and continue to try again. But on the other hand, many Christians that I know of today also live a very up and down life experience. They're up one day, down the next. And I just want to tell you, this whole lesson is about this particular cycle, that God did not create our spiritual reality to be this exact way. We know in the secular culture, we hear a little bit of a cliche that pride goes before a fall. And we understand that as Christians that We are going to stumble spiritually, and it's apparent when we walk in the flesh, when we begin to walk by sight rather than by faith. One thing that God has been really kind of pounding into me over these last few months is that I need to understand that I cannot walk by what I see, I can't walk by what I feel, I can't walk by my emotions as much as I need to learn how to take and navigate through my life, living in a level or a very different realm of faith than what I have lived in the past. We have to understand that Paul admitted that temptation is common to all of us. We are all going to stumble. We look at every one of us here. We look at our older saints. Our older saints stumble as well as our younger saints. It's just they don't always stumble over the same things that we, perhaps a younger saint, may stumble over. But also we understand that God has made a way of escape. Sometimes that escape is simply learning on how to walk with more stability in our lives. I've known of Christians that have been in the church, they have received the Holy Ghost years and years, decades ago perhaps, and they still have a problem stumbling and not having a stable Christian life. And I finished up on Sunday morning about what requires steady walking with God, requires a strong core. We understand as we grow physically older, we have all of our young people in here tonight, and they're all right up in this front area here, and they have a very strong physical cores. They're very agile. Most of these kids could probably outclimb anyone in this section over here or back over here or back over here, could probably outclimb, outplay, outmaneuver most of us older adults. I used to could really climb trees. I love to climb trees. Now I don't think I could get up a tree with a ladder. So things have changed. What has changed is because the core, my inner core, my health, my strength is not quite what it used to be when I was 18, 19, 20, even when I was 40. I look back and I look between the ages of 40 and 50, and boy, did life begin to make some changes. People would always tell me, oh, don't worry, that's going to catch up to you. Your metabolism's going to change. And I'm like, yeah, right. Well, you know what? Yeah, they were right. Your metabolism changed as we get older physically. Sometimes we fall, and that fall may begin to cause us to walk with a little bit of a limp. I'm wearing my cowboy boots tonight. I have not worn my cowboy boots other than Sunday morning for a solid year because I fell. And when I fell, I couldn't put my boot on because my ankle and heel was so swollen. But you know what? It's healed itself. So now I'm able to take over the past year of healing, took a whole year. What probably normally, if I would have been much younger, would have taken maybe a few weeks to a month. But you see, that's what happens when our core begins to weaken and we can experience problems in balance. And some of us old folks, we begin to stumble a little bit. You step off the step and you don't quite step right, and you stumble, and maybe you catch yourself, but if you don't catch yourself, you have that little bit of a fall. And next you see we've got crutches, or we got one of those little walkers that we push around, and that's to keep us from stumbling. That is to assist our core, because our core has begun to weaken, because that's what happens when you age. We also look at this spiritually. Spiritually, when we're walking right with a solid, strong core, it's much harder to stumble. And if we do stumble, it's much easier to recover quickly. Spiritually, when we're walking right with a solid, strong core, everything everything seems to flow much, much better. We need to be sure that our spiritual core isn't weakened by any beliefs, any attitudes, or any habits that may distract us and hinder our walk with God. We must become aware of subtle spiritual obstacles and stumbling blocks, and we must learn to deal with them in a biblical manner. One way that we learn to deal with them in a biblical manner, if you're taking notes tonight, is going to be point number one, is we need to learn to walk in the Spirit. We live by the Spirit, and we need to keep in step with Him. If we walk in the Spirit, we will not gratify or indulge in the desires of the flesh instead of tripping over enslaving sins that will affect us and our freedom in the Holy Ghost. We have to be able to learn to walk with God in the Spirit and in the spirit of holiness. We have to understand that our lives must reflect the holiness that is within us. God is a holy God. We have to understand that because He is a holy God, we are filled with the Holy Spirit, that we need to reflect what is within us. That's walking in the Spirit. How do we know if we are following God's principles? Some people say, well, how do I know if what I'm doing is right? Because you will begin to bear fruit. If you don't bear fruit or you haven't borne any fruit, then you need to look and say, okay, what do I need to do? What is reflecting? What is happening within me? The Spirit points us to Jesus. And when we abide in Christ, we will want to walk in the same way that He walked. That means loving one another, respecting one another, helping one another, believing in one another. Another way that we need to walk, another way that we strengthen our core, walking in the Spirit of holiness, is walking in wisdom. There's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. There's a lot of Christians today that have a lot of knowledge. But knowledge doesn't always bear out to wisdom. I look at knowledge. Knowledge is basically an accumulation of facts. He has a lot of knowledge. But how does he take that accumulation of facts and how does he apply them in his life? That's where wisdom comes in. We all know those people that know everything. But how do they apply what they know? And that's when we walk in wisdom, when we hold on to sound wisdom and discretion, our walk will be much more secure and we won't go stumbling around. We must be careful how we walk. Paul says that we should pursue the walk of wisdom. Wisdom's ways are the true north. If you look at a compass, and a compass has that true magnetic north, the Word of God is our true magnetic north. We're going to talk next week about when we become deceived and when the enemy deceives us, how do we respond to that? But when our compass is always pointed in the direction of the Word of God and the Word of God in our lives, we walk in wisdom in the Word, it will continue to point us to the true, correct, biblical north of our lives. God's wisdom will always lead us in a path of righteousness, making it easier to move forward unhampered according to God's plans and God's vision for our lives. Number three, if we are able to walk in the Spirit, and willing to walk in the Spirit, and with walking in the Spirit, we begin to walk in wisdom and hold sound wisdom and discretion, it's much easier to walk in truth. We need to follow walking God's instructions. We need to follow after His truth, after His principle and His commandments in the Scripture. Why is this so important? It is to keep us upright. right and our core strong. If we don't have a strong core, then we will stumble and we will continue to fall. The psalmist wrote, "Thy word, the God's word, is a light unto our feet." It lights our feet and our path. We're able to take and see where we are going. I don't know how you are, but at night when I walk around my yard and it's very, very dark. The other night it was like so dark. It was cloudy, overcast. You couldn't put my hand out in front of my face. And I'm like, I can't even see my hand in front of my face, but it takes just a little bit of light. Doesn't have to be a big, huge 500,000, 1 million, 2 million watt spotlight. It just takes a very little bit of light to illuminate my path so that I can navigate where I am seeking to go. So when I look at this, we need to walk in truth. The world, the culture of the world around us, our fleshly appetites, we're constantly battling these things. But if we're grounded in the Word, then those lies that were countless lies that we're faced with, the enemy is constantly trying to tell us who we are or who we're not, constantly trying to take and pull the wool over on our eyes. The Lord understands. The Lord will sanctify us. He will set us apart. He will make us holy. He will teach us how to walk in truth. And more importantly, He will teach us how to help others to walk in truth. Satan may tell you that you're defeated, but as God's children, we should know the truth about falling. Don't gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will arise. I may fall today, Pastor Seidel. I may fall. I may have a failure, whatever that may be. It may be attitude. It may be whatever it is. But don't gloat over me too long, Satan, because even though I may have made a mistake today, I'm going to rise back up. One failure in your life doesn't constitute a life of failures. But we get so caught up in that syndrome. We get so caught up in that. You see, walking in the Spirit, walking in wisdom, walking in truth, we have to be grounded in the Word of God. And then we have to walk as children of light. We live in a very, very dark world, and it's not getting any brighter. If you're waiting for the world to get to be a better place to live, you've got a very, very long, long haul in front of you. We live in a dark world where unbelievers, you see them, they rejoice. People that don't believe the truth, they rejoice when Christians or professed Christians mess up. They love it when we fail. They love it when it's public and we fail. You see that. I don't agree with every minister out there and every minister that's on TV and all of that stuff, but it still bothers me when some of these people have mistakes, no matter what it is, and the whole media all over the place, they make it such a huge, massive deal out of it, because what they're doing is they're really putting all of us in the same box. They're saying, I don't care, you're a Christian, you know, you acted up on an airplane and demanded, you know, this, that, or the other, and they just, if you're a Christian, I'm not like they are. I'm not one of them per se, but I'm still a Christian. So we live in a dark world, and as Christ-like followers, we should be able to understand the world that we live in. We need to understand the darkness that's going on around us. We constantly stumble when we live in the darkness, unable to even at times find the right path and walk God's straight path. But Paul says that we are to be the light to the world. We're to be that city set on the hill. Listen, if our light doesn't shine for Jesus Christ, you're not going to get it from another source. It's not going to come from anybody else. So we constantly stumble around in the darkness, sometimes uneven, able to find our own way. But God says, listen, get that light shining. Get that light shining bright. We need to walk as children of light. That means we need to walk properly. God has expectations. I don't know if you know this or not, but whether you're a young Christian or an older Christian, God has expectations that he places upon us. And one of them is we are to be his light. We are to be salt and light to the world. God is working through us. God has a design for us. He has a plan for us. And his plan is to make us holy. I know we don't talk a lot perhaps about this, but holy, living a holy life is a lot more than just what we wear. We love to take and equate our holiness with what we wear, but that really has very little to do with the holiness that God desires us to live. So when we look at this, we need to understand that we are to be children of light, to walk in children of light, knowing that God sees us and has a design for us to walk in a newness of life. The world should be able to tell a difference, not because of how we look, but they should be able to tell a difference as to how we make them feel. Do you understand that? It's how they feel when they're around us. Part of that, yes, is how we look, but that's not the primary. We need to walk in love. Walking in light is tied to walking in love. The early church was known for walking in light and love. John said to those who hate other believers to show evidence. Show me that they're still walking in darkness. Jesus commanded us to love one another in the same way that he loved us. I got involved in a discussion back probably a year or so ago. And in this discussion, it was a number of Christians, men that had been Christians for a very long time, and they were having a disagreement. And I don't know exactly what I was supposed to do to help solve this disagreement. But it kind of amazed me at how the behavior was of these men of God, or what we would perceive as great men of God. And I was a little bit frustrated, and about 2, maybe 3 hours into this session, it was seemingly not getting any better, and it came my time to kind of speak my mind, I guess, for whatever that was worth. And I said, I'm kind of a little perplexed here, and I've had disagreements with other pastors on our staff. We don't always agree with everything, but I do feel that we're able to sit down and come to an agreement and say, okay, this is what we're going to agree on, and we're going to move forward from this. But I said, doesn't the scripture tell us? So what does the Bible say when you will know me, you will know my children? How will you know them? When you're walking down the street and you see a bunch of people from Calvary walking together, how will you know that they're my children? Is it because that you come in and maybe they sing really well? Is that how you know that you're a Christian? How do I know that Dennis Uselman is a true blue Christian? Because he gets up here and he plays the bass really well and he knows how to worship God? How do I know that if Tim Knopp is a true Christian? Because, well, he's just a good, hard-working guy, a solid guy. He just really seems to he doesn't get upset at a lot of people, and what sign am I looking for to know a true disciple of Jesus Christ? How we treat one another. Isn't that something? It's not how well you treat the world. It's how well do you treat one another. And I think that that is so, so very, very important when we're talking about regaining lost ground. You want to regain lost ground? Start living your life according to these principles. Start walking in the Spirit. Start walking as children of light. We live in this messed up, dark world, and we need to start to walk in love. If we bite and devour one another, our Christian unity, the unity that we hold so dear, will be destroyed. Another thing that Paul urged the church is to walk in a manner worthy of your calling. This is interesting. We need to walk worthy of our calling. You want to regain some lost ground? If God's called you to be a leader, then start walking worthy of a leader. I remember when we had some discussion with our bishop, and he was giving me some advice on how to be a good pastor. He said, you know what? Number one is you got to start acting like a pastor. If you're going to be a pastor, start acting like one. Identify as one. If we're going to be a Christian, we need to start acting like a Christian. If we're going to be a leader, we need to start acting like a leader. As fathers, as mothers, as young people. If we want to be a Christian at school, we need to walk worthy of our call. People need to know that we're a Christian. If you're starting a P7 club, and I know we've got some P7 clubs starting, and I'm excited about that. But the most important example that you could ever live to your fellow students in your school is just be a good Christian. Walk worthy of your calling. You don't have to know everything about the Bible. You don't have to be able to answer every question that they ask you. All you got to do is write it down and come back and talk to somebody that can help you with an answer. Your Sunday school teacher, your youth pastor. But we need to walk worthy of our calling. That includes faithfulness, integrity, and just being a peacemaker. Just being a peacemaker. You see, we were created for good works. And if we're busy doing those good works as God leads us, we will more likely be able to fulfill our calling, and we'll be less likely to just simply stumble our way through our Christian life. And when we stumble, what does Proverbs 24:16 say? For the righteous falls 7 times. It doesn't say for the wannabe Christian. It says for the righteous, a righteous man, for the righteous falls 7 times and rises again. The Bible shares many examples with us of men and women of God who stumbled spiritually, and sometimes they paid a dreadful price for their sin, but they didn't stay down. By God's grace and God's mercy and with his help, they got up and they began to start walking again. And if Sister Fiona could come for our altar time here. I am trying to shorten my lessons up just a little bit here, but understand, David fell into tremendous sin. If there's anybody that had a chaotic family life and a messed up family, it was David. Peter, he stumbled when he denied the Lord. And Satan wants us to believe that when we have a failure, that God is done with us. I don't know how many times I have said, Lord, here I go again. I don't want you to think that I just go around just screaming, hollering, yelling, and cussing all day long. We all have attitude issues. We all have those moments where we're like, yeah, I thought my day would go a little bit better than it went today. I got upset about this, or I got upset about that, or I should have done this, or I should have done that. But you see, just because we stumble, just because we fall, just because we make mistakes, God doesn't just abandon us in that moment. God's hand is always stretched out towards us and to lift us up and to get us walking, get us going again. You see, the problem that most, I shouldn't say most of us, the problem that we can develop is instead of regaining that lost ground, God wants to just pick us right up and insert us right back into the battle. But sometimes we buy into this that, well, you know, boy, I lost everything. We look at ourselves almost like, well, God, you know, I messed up today, so I'm tainted goods here. I can't seem to make this right. I can't seem to get over this particular issue that I'm struggling with. So we allow the enemy to continually beat us up in our minds and think that we're not worthy. But you see, God says, listen, yeah, you've made a mistake, you've fallen, but that doesn't mean I'm giving up on you. It doesn't mean that I'm no longer going to invest in you. How many times have our children made mistakes and fallen? And we're there to encourage them. And God is no different. You see, we can't lean on our own understanding, but instead we need to fear the Lord. We need to face it. Part of our issue is in regaining lost ground is we don't like to take and call our sin a sin. We like to have excuses. We like to say, well, God, you know, I made a few mistakes today. I boo-booed. I used to kind of react that way. Now I just say, Lord, you know what? Pride is a sin, and I had a little bit of a pride issue today. So, Lord, I don't want this in my life. I want to get this. I need to return. I need to repent from this, and I need to get this out. And if we're going to regain lost ground, we need to understand that when we stumble and when we fall, we need to stumble and fall forward. Did you know that? You can fall backwards and you can fall forward. I remember reading about Walter Payton at the time he had set the NFL rushing yards as a running back. I believe it was every 4.3 yards of the some 10,000 plus yards of rushing that he had, every 4.3 yards, he was knocked down. That's a lot. When you look at 10,000 yards and every 4.3 yards, you're hitting the ground and somebody's piling on top of you. I remember a statement that he made that the most successful thing that he could do in his running and such was when he fell, he always tried to take and fall forward. And I think that's a good analogy for us, that when we stumble, when we fall, remember to fall forward. We need to repent and turn away from our sin. We need to recognize that all sin is an offense against God. If we serve a holy God and we serve a righteous God, we have to live holy and we have to be righteous. We need to renew our mind with the truth of God's word. And we have to remember and rest in our forgiveness from God. We need to resist the devil as we draw near to God, and we need to live with a purified heart. And we need to resolve to never give up in our hope in God. And we need to reach out to those who can help us. That's why God put us in a body. I'm so thankful for the body of Christ. I'm so thankful for the pastors and the people of this church over the last few months have been there to help me in some of my struggles. We need to reach out to those who can help us with counsel, support, and then we must become accountable to one another. So if we could stand this evening. So when we hit rock bottom, when we fall, understand that God desires to restore us. Jude, in his short book, pens these words, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy." Listen, if you feel like tonight that perhaps you've lost some ground in your walk with God, it doesn't take a lifetime to regain that ground. It can take just a few moments in the presence of God with a repentant heart. The enemy wants us to stay way back, and God says, no. come on, get up. Let's get going. We got work to do. So tonight, in closing here, I just want to open up this altar. And Sister Fiona begins to sing. As I said earlier, it doesn't mean that because you come to the altar and you talk with the Lord that you're just a blatant, horrible sinner. Sometimes we just need that recheck in the Spirit. Sometimes we just need that little bit of assurance in God that says, you know what, Lord, I want to make sure that you and I are working together in all of this. So maybe you're just having some struggles, but they're not heavy-duty issues. You need a healing tonight. You need us to pray for you. Come on down.
Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness is bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Are you hurting, broken within, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a Savior! Isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah! Christ is risen. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Oh, what a Savior! Isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a Savior! Isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Oh, what a Savior! Isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen.
Amen. God bless everyone. Thank you for coming. Have a safe drive home. Remember service, our veteran service on Sunday at 10, and be here for revival prayer this Friday night at 7. God bless you.